You are listening to an entertainment program put together by a company called Financial Ineptitude. Anything said on this show is not an endorsement or professional advice. Would you really want to tell a court of law you were suing us because you thought taking financial advice from two idiots on a podcast put out by Financial Ineptitude was a good idea? Really? Clown hat, smiley face.
Financial Ineptitude presents Two Bulls in a China Shop. You can find our podcast at twobullsinachinashop.com or just search Two Bulls in a China Shop wherever you stream your podcasts. Well, hello and welcome to the China Shop. Step right in, come one, come all. I'm Shopkeeper Dan, and with me as always is Kyle, creator of financialineptitude.com. How are you doing today, Kyle?
Doing good. Your enthusiasm is addicting. What's going on?
I'm just so fucking happy to be here, man.
Are you happy the week's over, or are you happy that you didn't lose any money because you didn't trade anything?
Okay. I am, one, very happy the week's over so I can get back to trading and my timeout has ended. And two, just because I was only allowed to exit positions did not mean I couldn't lose money this week, my friend. I still managed to lose. Ha-ha!
Oh, that's impressive. Well done.
Oh, come on into the shop with us today. Sit back, relax, rage against the hedge machine. We'd like to welcome any new listeners just joining us. We're here smashing our way into a complete set of fine china, sharing those ever-growing strategies for getting gains and cutting losses. If you're new to the shop and stock trading in general, you can always check out our Knowledge Center on financialineptitude.com, or you can give one of our beginning trading episodes a listen. We'll have all those links in the episode description for you. But Kyle and I think the best place to be is our Discord server. We're on there every day, just talking stocks, sharing charts, sharing news, hanging out. It's just a really great place to be. And Kyle, what happens when they join that server? What should they do?
They should send us an email or DM with their shipping address, and we will mail them their own Smash It Themselves coffee mug or shot glass, their choice.
Hell yeah. Your choice. Dealer's choice. No, user's choice. Fuck, somebody chooses. Just make a choice. We're just so glad you're here. It's a lot of fun. It's always better with friends. Ugh, I just love being here in the shop.
Man, your energy is really high today.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking crazy. Somebody's really relaxed today.
But, like, man. Even just on the phone call before we started, you didn't have this kind of energy. What's going on?
Oh, you're gonna reveal that I step it up for the show and I put on a persona and a facade of some radio presenter. Wow. Just take all the magic out. Sorry, kids. Show's over. It's all a facade.
I just, I feel like you didn't hype me up as well as you should have. I didn't know we were going to start like this.
Ladies and gentlemen, the man who brought to you bad trades, good trades, lazy trades, other than the inimitable Kyle Hedman!
Okay. I'm done with it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. Because I started to think of a lot more to go to run with. Yeah, it's a good time. Hey, Kyle, we got any show news?
Yes.
Oh, good. Okay, well, we won't cover the show news. We'll move on.
We finished a recording with George for Mind Over Markets last week. As soon as we get the actual release date on that, we'll make sure we send an update to everybody.
Yeah, that was a good time.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. I'm glad that he also came up with some questions to ask us, too.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yeah. George will be back for the July review episode that we'll be doing next week. We're also working on setting up a new beginner episode. So we're going to get a newbie to join us and just ask us all the questions that he wants about the market.
Hopefully, we'll be able to craft yet another beginning episode in our attempts to give people a place to start that's both fun and informative.
Yep, and the guy we've got lined up is actually a dentist, has a lot of interest in the stock market, but just doesn't really know a whole lot about it. So
yeah,
hopefully he's got a bunch of really great questions that we can try to get through, and hopefully there's some of the same questions that other beginners have.
Yes, our market research shows that our audience is mostly dentists trying to learn, so we thought, why not get one?
Also, we all know how fun they are.
Yeah. I put my fingers in people's mouths for a living. Oh. Now, I love you, dentists. I don't mean to denigrate your fine craft.
Let's not go too far.
Fine. Fuck you, dentists. Where do you get off drilling into teeth, you sadistic fucks?
Ah, man, what kind of fun games are we going to play with him?
I have no clue.
I don't either.
Oh, that's your department.
I know.
I'm all business, Kyle. I'm all business. No fun and games here. Okay. Oh, God. Are we doing a podcast? Are we just hanging out? We have such a great show for you today, folks. It's electric. It's intoxicating. It is... I was going to say empirical just for the alliteration, but that makes no sense. We have an empirical show for you today.
It makes no sense because you threw an I in there.
Oh, I was, shit. Broke my own rules. All right, I'm in timeout again. All right, you take over. I can't do a podcast for the next hour. Timeout.
Should we just move into the bet?
We have lots of market moving news, plenty of stocks on the radar, more options than Robinhood has short sellers.
That's right. A lot.
Bam! Take that, Robin Hood.
Yep. Fuck you, Robin Hood.
And as always, reach out to us, folks. We love your messages and comments on Twitter and Facebook, TikTok, Discord, just anywhere you're at that we're at. Give us a holler. Maybe you're old school and you want to just give us an email at twobulls@financialneptude.com. That's the number 2bulls@financialneptude.com. Or you could shoot us a phone call to 725-22-BULLS. Maybe you got a hot stock tip. Maybe you want to tell us about a great trade you just made, or maybe you and your compatriot have fallen on the outs, and while you're fighting, you come across a wagon in the desert with a dying Union soldier telling you where a bunch of hidden gold is. Mm. Yeah. No, nice. Nobody's getting that one.
But Outlaw Josie Wales? No, it's one of those Clint Eastwood ones. Which one is it?
Ennio Morricone did a big song for it. We sometimes play it on the show.
Yeah, that's Good, Bad, and the Ugly, isn't it?
Wow, wow, wow. Now, it doesn't matter what your reason is. Just reach out. We love it.
Also, if you have any questions, if there's stuff that we're going over too fast, because this show is starting to get a lot more technical the more that we learn. And I know we throw a lot of terminology around. So if there's anything you want to explain, just let us know.
Yeah, please. We love to talk.
This, if you can't tell.
Oh, Kyle, it's the end of July. We got to talk about our bet.
Do we have to?
Yeah, we're legally obligated. I checked with the lawyers.
Isn't this a 2-month bet? Didn't we decide to do a July-August combination?
Yeah, we were doing the summer thing where we decided, like, oh, we'll just lump 2 months together, and that way random won't win.
Or no, we had golf rules this week.
Oh, well, I like that. I really like that. Golf rules, Brewster's Millions, gotta lose it all.
All right, Dan, how'd you lose yours?
I bet on AMC, making some big moves. And AMC, to be fair, made 2 upward moves of 10% this week.
It did.
It was just, in between some downward moves of also more than 10%.
Yeah.
It opened at 38 and change, and it closed at 37. I didn't even do the math because I was in last place. So the fact that I lost money means I most assuredly am the biggest loser.
You are. I had HZNP open the week at $100.50, close the week at $100.02. It was up almost to 105, so I had a brief glimmer of hope, but no, not quite. I lost $2 off my total. It's now at 475.41. But random, with FHN, opened at 1549, closed at 1545, and since it was sitting at over 500 the week before, it is the winner at 507.88.
I blame snow.
Yes, it was definitely snow. That will also take us right into the poll question, because...
Oh, God.
Yeah, we decided to put that to the Twitter world to decide what our consequences would be.
Oh, we are idiots.
Yeah, well, you're the idiot. You're the one who added the one that... Ugh. 50 God damn it. What were you thinking?
I was thinking, like, oh, you know what would be even worse than Twilight is that really crappy fanfic that got so popular.
Yeah. Well, Twitter got 20%. 50 Shades of Grey got
80%. Oh, Twilight got 20%?
I'm sorry. Yeah, what did I say?
You said Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Twilight got 20%. 50 Shades of Grey got
80% of people responding to our poll want us to read 50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for our month in review. We'll go into the details of what's happening with that.
Yeah, I think we're leaning towards just doing like a whole bonus episode on
don't give it away.
Maybe, or, okay.
All don't right, give it away.
Well, that's a good.
Got to tease it teaser. For the month in review.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
Oh, well, this is the second time we've both lost to random, and it hasn't even been a full 12 months. We've only been doing random for like 6.
I mean, we're still beating it 2/3 of the time.
Yeah, but there's only 3, so there's no statistical edge. There's only 3 people in the bet.
That's a good point. To be fair, though, each time random has won, it's had 1 week that was just ungodly performance.
That's true. That's true. All right, Kyle.
Yep.
Should we move on to some news?
Please.
The bets demoralized me once again.
There goes that energy.
There goes that energy.
All right, play an upbeat song.
Well, it's all for the money. Tune to the show. Need a good story so my margin grows, or won't you? Listen to all our news. You might learn some things with the China Shop Market News.
All right, here we are.
All right.
There is one news story that I consider to be the most important news story you're going to hear this year.
It's got to be Robinhood?
No. No.
Infrastructure?
No.
No. It's not inflation, is it?
No, Kyle. Oh. The news story is about bacon.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah. Yeah. California has installed new rules about products, you know, food products, especially meat production, regarding animal welfare. Mm-hmm. So you can't sell pork in California after this law goes into effect, and it's fast. It's coming on fast. There's a prop they passed in 2018, so they've had a few years. But basically, if the pigs don't have a certain standard of life on the farm, then you can't sell the pork in California. And it's estimated that only 4% of hog operations now comply with the new rules.
Ooh, are there is there anything against like bacon smuggling?
I don't know if there are specific penalties for smuggling in bacon, but it's 100% going to become a thing. Bacon will be smuggled into California.
Considering funding you to allow you to fill up your trunk with bacon and just taking it to Venice Beach.
Ooh, black market bacon?
Yeah.
crap, it's the fuzz. The cops are on me. Ditch the thin slice, but save that thick cut. That's gold up north in San Francisco.
Oh, man, no bacon in California. I'm never going back.
Shit's gonna get crazy. Like, they're interviewing restaurant owners on the Associated Press. They're talking about, like, yeah, our number one breakfast is bacon and eggs. What the hell are we gonna do now? Nobody's going to come in just for eggs.
Right? Well, I guess turkey bacon? Ugh. The fuck out of here.
Turkey bacon's not bad in a pinch, man. You get it crispy, it's good.
It's not. No. No. No, it's not bacon.
Well, I didn't say it's bacon, but it'll do in a pinch when it's crispy. It's tasty. You know? Yeah, sure. We'd all like to get laid, but, you know, jerking off will do in a pinch. It's good. Not the same thing, but, you know, it kind of scratches the itch, right?
I don't know.
I know that's not going to be our Twitter poll, but I just would like to ask the question to America, is turkey bacon the masturbation of breakfast meats?
Maybe that should be our Twitter poll. I like that one better than the one I was thinking. Alright. Okay. Yeah. Is turkey bacon
oh, yeah, yeah. It's just
breakfast meats? Is that what you said?
That's what I said.
Okay, yeah. Then what are the responses here?
Yeah, it's not getting laid, but it'll do in a pinch.
Yeah, it'll do in a pinch.
No, it's... And then no, it's more like slamming your genitals in a car door.
You got 25 characters, Dan.
Oh. Car door genital slam. Car door cock slam. Shit. Sounds like a bad punk band.
How about no satisfaction?
There you go.
I don't know. I'll work that around. I'll play with that. It'll be something around the idea of turkey bacon not being a good substitute. And then somehow linking it to sex.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? And just to wrap up the story, it is a big deal. California restaurants and groceries use about 255 million pounds of pork a month.
I wonder if pork futures took a hit. When is this supposed to go into effect?
Oh, they passed it in 2018, so I think it's 2022.
Ah, would you consider leaving a state if you couldn't get bacon anymore?
No, that would not be... Like, I don't eat bacon regularly enough to make that, like, impactful in my life.
I don't eat it that much, maybe once or twice a week.
Yeah.
But if I didn't... If somebody told me I couldn't eat bacon anymore, yeah, I'd probably leave that state. And it'd be less about the bacon and more about the... You can't have that.
But you can. You can have it. From production, from one of the 4% of production facilities that are allowed to sell in California.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, it just becomes a luxury product, so you're paying $50 for that bacon.
Yeah, no
instead
shit.
Instead of five.
Wow, this story did turn out to be the biggest one. We spent like seven minutes blithering like idiots about
it. Hey, Kyle, you got anything? You got anything to talk about?
Yeah, Robinhood IPO. Not so good. debuted at 38. I think it bottomed out below 34. Did rebound a little bit. Still not doing all that great. I think the story title that I had pulled up for this was that, let's see, Robinhood has worst debut ever for IPO of its size.
Yeah.
Let's see. About 8.4% below the price in the first trading session. Among the 51 firms that raised as much cash as Robinhood or more, this was the worst debut.
The worst.
Yes.
Wow.
And I can't imagine that's going to keep going anywhere but down.
I saw that they were offering at $38 before it actually hit the markets. Anybody on Robinhood could buy shares. At $38.
Oh.
And
of course.
I really think this is, you know, thinking about it in terms of auction theory, if you're selling and not letting other people sell their shares, you're only letting people buy at 38. It's an artificial price. And you sell the shares to all the people in Robinhood, all the retail traders that wanted it, then you allow it to hit the market. What do you think is going to happen? All your buyers are done buying.
Exactly. Well, they expected a lot more interest in it, I think, before all the events of the past couple months.
Yeah.
I think they probably reserved way too many shares, and then once the actually debuted and you still had all those shares sitting out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, nobody wants it.
Nobody wants it. There's no... The demand is not there.
What was the other story I saw about Robinhood, too? Didn't I see something about Vlad Tenev not actually being licensed by FINRA?
Wait, what? I didn't hear about that.
Shit. All right, let me look for that.
The CEO of Robinhood is not FINRA certified.
Yeah. Find the actual story here. CNN reported this about 3 days ago. This story, it came out on the eve of the IPO. There's a new regulatory probe investigating the fact that Vlad Tenev is not licensed by FINRA. Yeah. This comes more than 5 months after CNN Business reported that Tenev, the public face of Robinhood, is not registered with FINRA, short for Financial Industry Regulation Authority. It's the despite the fact that he presides over one of the nation's largest and most powerful online brokerages. They're also probing Robinhood's employee stock trades that occur around the time of the company's controversial stock restrictions imposed in January amid the market turmoil. It says it's received inquiries from FINRA and the SEC about employee trades involving GameStop, AMC, and other so-called meme stocks. Robinhood said regulators looking into whether these trades by employees may have occurred in advance of the public announcement of the trading restrictions. Mm. Now, all this happened the day before the IPO. I guess I should add this story too. That's probably the bigger
that
story.
That might have also affected people's enthusiasm for that IPO.
Yeah, a little bit. Either way, I'm not touching it.
Yeah, no, I'm not shorting it. I'm not buying it. I'm not going near it. We'll let it build a chart history and get an options chain, and then I'll consider playing with it.
I don't know. I don't think I'm going anywhere near this thing. You never know if they're going to turn off the sell button.
Oh, you turn off the sell button and our stock skyrocketed.
Yeah.
Oh, Kyle, is anything happening with the Fed?
I don't have anything with the Fed. I have infrastructure, though. It looks like there was a bipartisan deal finally reached.
Ooh. So we're going to get some new roads?
Well, I think it's more... I'm trying to look here at the actual story. There's a lot in there about like infrastructure as far as like internet and Ooh. Communication stuff.
Okay. That's great.
What's interesting about this bipartisan deal is that the left is very unhappy with it, apparently. While the right is very happy.
Oh,
yeah.
Isn't it like a $1 trillion deal?
Yeah, roughly $1 trillion. I'm trying to see what's actually in here. Okay, investments in public transit, passenger rail, clean drinking water, bridges, electric vehicles. Okay, for some Democrats, it's far from enough. Comprises about a quarter of Biden's initial plan, which included a lot more incentives for R&D, manufacturing, clean energy. But that original price tag was $3.5 trillion, so I don't think that was ever going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of how a compromise works, right? you have to cut some stuff to get the stuff you really want.
Right? You read about game theory and compromises and whatnot, and I like a good compromise is where nobody walks away really happy.
Right. That's
a good compromise because both people had to give something up to get the things they most wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And an agreement was reached. That's a win.
And here are the things that were considered the wins. Expanding access to high-speed internet, upgrading border stations along the U.S.-Mexico border, and improving technology to aid water management.
That all sound great to me.
Yeah, water's important.
I
would say almost as important as internet.
Almost as important as bacon.
Bacon is very important to me. But I would take internet, I think, over bacon. Maybe over water. If I had to choose between internet and water, oh.
What good is clean water if I can't stream my shit?
I'd just be bored with water. At least I could be thirsty and entertained.
Dying of thirst, but my Civ game is almost complete.
Trying to see if there's anything else in here. As far as what else is in the bill. No, I think this article seems to be more about... Never mind. I think that's enough. That's enough about that.
I recently came across a story recently on Friday. The Fed Reserve Chair, Jerome Powell, a.k.a. America's good cop.
He is.
He's reassured us that the U.S. economy has learned, learned to handle the coronavirus and won't be swamped in a fresh wave of infections or by rising inflation.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I did notice you posted a chart in the Discord. Looks like you're doing some technical analysis on the COVID infection rates. And there's definitely a very distinct head and shoulders pattern there, so we should be able to count on infections and hospitalization rates to drop.
No. The head and shoulders happened, and it dropped under the right shoulder, but now we're popping back up, and we're testing that resistance level of the shoulder, so that reversal might be over.
I don't know. It looks pretty bearish to me if I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I hope it is too. I hope it is too.
Yeah.
But we are, it did strike me as hilarious because one, it did look like a head and shoulders pattern. And two, I realized like the Fibonacci stuff with the stock charts, like it's all modeling real growth.
Right.
Right. So when you're looking at the growth of a virus, I guess it makes sense that it might look like a stock chart.
Yeah.
You know, as crazy as that might sound. So we'll see if the if it breaks resistance or if that resistance holds.
Hopefully those supports don't hold.
Yeah. We want it to just crash right through those supports.
Can you short the coronavirus?
Yeah.
Because I would like
to. Yeah, I think it's you just start living like it's not a thing anymore. That's how you short it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, you got any other stories?
Well, I'm still talking about this one.
Oh, I thought we were done. All right. Sorry. Keep going. Proceed.
We have returned to pre-pandemic levels of outputs in the second quarter, according to the GDP data.
Yes.
That rebound has happened faster than most people expected, including myself.
But it's like the fastest in history, hasn't it? Wasn't it?
I don't know about the GDP being the fastest in history. I know
the economic recovery from that size of a drop. And that's also inflation adjusted too, right? The numbers that they reported on that. The GDP numbers. I believe that said it was adjusted for inflation.
Oh, okay. So if you don't adjust it for inflation, it probably doesn't look so rosy.
No, if you don't adjust it for inflation, it looks even better.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah.
The report also showed personal income is dropping alongside a decline in federal transfer payments and the economy growing at 6.5%. So it was the massive federal stimulus and unemployment benefits that led to the better than anyone expected outcomes during the surge last summer. Powell cited on Wednesday as evidence that each COVID-19 wave has had successfully less economic impact. Mm. So it's all party time now.
Yes.
Feds Powell. You know, hey, don't pay attention that inflation greater than 6% is the highest it's been since the early 80s. Pay no attention to that. It's party all the time. Never gonna stop.
Who was bad cop this week?
I don't think the bad cop came from Yellen this time. But Paul Ashworth, chief North America economist at Capital Economics, was playing bad cop.
I think there was also another one of the Fed members, one of the voting members, but I don't think he was a voting member for another couple of years.
Oh, yeah, because they rotate.
Yeah, that's a whole weird setup.
Yeah.
If the digital dollar gets us away from the Fed, that might be worth it.
Right. Oh, yeah, the Fed's its own. It's its own five-hour podcast. Oh, God. Talking about the Federal Reserve, for sure.
Yeah.
And then we get some tinfoil hats and really, really have a good time. but that's all of my news stories, Kyle.
Okay. I'll try to get through the last two of these here a little quicker. AMC had their shareholder meeting last week. There was a lot of, tinfoil hat stuff going on the internet because the meeting wasn't publicized, I guess. They didn't really release any of the notes or anything on it yet. I think they're still planning on it. But what was interesting about that was Adam Aaron getting on Twitter and actually using the word FUD. telling people that there is no FUD. Like, passed all the things that they wanted to pass. The new stock issue was tabled for another day, like everybody wanted. Yeah, there's a lot of FUD on the internet, he said. Oh, what a world.
Yeah, a lot of people, I remember reading while it was happening, a lot of people were like, why aren't they live streaming this shit? They're hiding something. It's like,
yeah.
Wait, what?
Like, no, it's just a shareholder meeting.
That's not how shareholder meetings go.
Yeah, go to it if you want to. You're a shareholder. You're allowed.
They'll let you in.
It was in Kansas, so, I mean, I'm not sure how many people wanted to make that trip.
Yeah, yeah, I was not itching to get to the AMC shareholder meeting.
No, me neither.
Just tell me what happened afterwards, like any other normal shareholder meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, the last thing I wanted to talk about, and I was originally planning on just kind of touching on this, because it's one of the stocks that I hold, but Activision has been having a lot of trouble. And the more I read into this, the bigger the story looks to me, to the point where we probably should have been featuring this a little more prominently. There's a lot of allegations of misogyny, sexual harassment, and just terrible, terrible treatment of women at that company.
Oh, damn.
I can go through here and read some of the things. Let's see. A former customer service employee, Ms. Stein, 28, worked from 2014 to 17 in customer service role. Said she was consistently paid less than her ex-boyfriend, who joined the company at the same time and did the same work that she did. She said once declined drugs that her manager offered her at a holiday party in 2014 or 15, which soured their relationship, hampered her career. 16, a manager messaged her on Facebook, suggesting she must be into some freaky stuff, quote, and asking what type of pornography she watched. She also overheard male colleagues joking about women had their jobs only because they performed sexual favors for male superiors. Let's see. Former vice president Lisa Welsh shared an account of how an exec asked her to have sex with him because, quote, she deserved to have some fun, end quote, after her boyfriend died weeks earlier.
Whoa.
Yeah. Emily Mitchell, security researcher, approached Blizzard's booth in the Black Hat Cybersecurity Conference in 15, was harassed by the Blizzard representatives. She got to the table. She asked about penetration testing position. Which, I mean, I don't think you
tee that up.
Yeah,
some socially inept nerd is definitely gonna giggle and make a joke, but it's not her fault. It's not her fault. They should still be professional at the Black Hat booth.
You would think for sure. Penetration testing or pen testing, and then is an industry term for a security audit. Said she'd been wearing a T-shirt made by cybersecurity company Secure State, which had penetration expert on the front. So, yeah, this one's a little more understandable. One of the Blizzard employees first asked if she was lost. Another one asked if she was at the conference with her boyfriend, and another one asked if she even knew what pen testing was. So that right there is a bit bullshit.
Yeah.
Then one of them asked her when the last time she was personally penetrated, if I liked being penetrated, and how often I got penetrated.
Okay, so they're a bunch of 13-year-olds.
Yes.
Bunch of 13-year-olds.
Well, not only that, but then the not thinking she could be in that position, like, oh, you can't be flying a plane, you're a woman.
Right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, nurse, bring the doctor in. You're the doctor? What?
Yeah. Okay, here's another one. A source who's departed Blizzard since talked about how the room designated for breastfeeding women didn't have locks on it. Men would walk into the breastfeeding room. There was no way to lock the door. They would just stare, and I'd have to scream at them to leave.
Oh, wow.
They have added locks to that since. Let's see. It's basically akin to working in a frat house. Stories abound at Activision Blizzard, compounded by a drinking culture that until recently was insane, a source said. Woman told her that she doggedly avoided the drinking events on campus because of the reputation. It was much more sexual in the Blizzard main office circa 2015, when women being subject to inappropriate touching in the chest area and elsewhere, sometimes at the holiday party, sometimes not. Blizzard has taken steps to address the drinking culture by introducing a 2-drink maximum at company events. Because that'll do it.
Yeah, that'll fix it.
Yeah.
Just
the more you read, like, the worse it gets.
It sounds like they watched Mad Men and they were like, that's a good idea.
It sounds to me like you've got a bunch of gaming nerds And you remember being at that age that never really grew up, that suddenly got put in a position of power and just have no idea how to socially act around people in general, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? You don't, by getting power, you don't magically learn
social skills.
Appropriate social, yeah. No. Appropriate social behaviors.
No, you don't.
Skills. Oh, God. Okay. Well, how's that hit their stock?
It had been running up to 100 not too long ago. It is now down below 84, I think.
Okay.
Which I had sold some shares. I had a pretty large position in that. I think I sold some around 90 right before this happened. Wasn't nearly enough that I sold, obviously, but I think I might actually be getting out of that stock. I don't know that I can. We talked about ethical investing at one point.
Yeah.
This might be where I draw the line. You treat women like that, I don't think I can support that company.
Right. It's fucking 2021. Come on. Yeah. We're not in the fucking 50s and 60s where the culture and society has not grown as far as it has. Come on now, people.
Yeah. I mean, wandering into a breastfeeding room and just staring, like, what the fuck? Well, yeah. So if you have shares in Activision, I mean, it's already, the sell-off has already kind of hit it, but I don't know. I don't think this story's getting better before it gets worse.
Yeah, so stay tuned for the Robinhood Activision merger.
I know, right? Might as well.
We'll combine two separate evils into one greater evil. Speaking of evil, two bulls... No, that's going a little far.
A little
folks,
bit.
We are very...
Our show is supported by the female sex.
Yes, yes, yes. And women in power and successful women are a very real thing that you just gotta accept, misogynist. Just fucking accept it.
I never once asked Sue which man was handling my loan.
You sound like an expert, dollface. But is there someone with a penis involved in this transaction?
Whose phone have you been answering to learn all these terms?
Good Lord. Oh, good Lord.
Good
yeah, yeah, yeah. Talking about a successful woman who is madly more successful and intelligent and capable than myself, Two Bulls in a China Shop is brought to you by Sue Pullen at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender. Sue Pullen is a certified mortgage advisor who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She's got over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners, whether it's purchasing, refinancing, even reverse mortgages. Sue will help. She's licensed in, 27 states? She's licensed in 27 states.
27 states, not growing, though. I think she's had enough. I think she figures more than half of the states, I think, was enough.
She's got more business than she can handle.
Yes.
She's licensed in 27 states. Reach out, see what Sue could do for you. There's a greater than 50% chance she's licensed in your state.
And to be honest, if you really ask, she'll get licensed just to do your loan.
Yeah, probably. She is cool like that.
She did get licensed in Mississippi to do one of mine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Best way to reach her is just give her a call, 520-977-7904, or you can shoot her an email at spullen@fairwaymc.com. That's SPULLEN at fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number 2289. Sue Pullen has an MLS number of 206048. That email again is spullen@fairwaymc.com, and that phone number is 520-977-7904.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we are also proud affiliates with the Trade Pro Academy.
Certified members, could we say. I've got my certificate hanging above my wall.
There you go. Yes, certified affiliates. We're having George on the show again. We were just on their show. Obviously, we're really gung-ho about what the education services that they perform over
there
at Trade Pro
Academy.
George
does a fantastic job with the foundations course. Really want to learn auction theory and how the stock market works. Phenomenal. They're entertaining. They're informative. You walk away knowing so much. Even after the first couple lessons, you have some strategies that you can go and put to use right off the bat.
Yeah. Yeah. Solid, solid stuff at the Trade Pro Academy. We do have a link, being affiliates. It's a great way to support our show. If you sign up for their courses, we get a cut if you follow our link. So we encourage you to do that, not just for our own financial benefit, but for the actual education services. I've not come across anything as good as what they're doing over at Trade Pro.
No.
All right, Kyle, time to talk about some trades.
Do you have stuff to talk about?
I have one thing to talk about.
Why don't you go ahead and do that?
You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to sold 'em, know when to walk away. Those calls are done. You never count your money when you're holding on to contracts. There'll be time enough for counting when the options exercise.
Okay. I was in trading timeout.
Yes.
Because I so poorly handled myself the week before last. All I was allowed to do of my own accord was to close positions. So I had some Bristol-Myers Squibb, some BMY call options that expired on the 30th.
Yep.
And I bought them before I realized earnings was coming up, but I held them. Earnings was good on Wednesday.
Yes.
They had really good earnings. And,
but not good enough.
But not good enough. I had two opportunities, Kyle, to move out of that position at break even.
Oh, really?
Yes. Right after earnings, I had two opportunities to break even.
I guess then you didn't.
And what do you think went through my mind of, it's going up. Ooh, I could break even. I should sell.
No, yeah, it probably wasn't that. It was probably, why would I sell at break even when it's going up? I can make money now.
Correct. And instead of making money, they expired worthless. I didn't even sell them at a loss. I held on to, I didn't follow the plan, and I just held them with false hope.
That's really funny, Dan, because I think I did the exact same thing with some AMC weeklies.
There's my trade. Let's hear about yours.
I bought some $41 calls at $1.05, but I did a little bit better. I sold a third of those at $1.40. So I made a little bit of profit on the first one, and I should have sold the rest out at break even, which I also had multiple chances to do so, or even to just get out of the trade at break even in general.
Yeah.
But no, I just kept holding on, just thinking. The problem for me is once it gets to a certain point where it's like, is it worth just selling it and getting $20 back on, whatever you're left holding? Or is it better just let that $20 ride and just on something that has the potential to break up higher and really move?
Yeah.
And most of the time, in fact, I'd say even 99% of the time, it's probably better to just get that $20 back.
Yeah.
And that's a lesson that I'm still having trouble learning.
Yeah.
I did enough to where I closed out my LYV Live Nation 820 $70 puts that I bought. I bought those for $1.40. I sold them for 60 cents, which was over a 50% loss, but I got something back. That one, I bought those when the chart dropped below our trigger price, but it immediately rebounded back up. And I kept holding them because I held them in lieu of buying SPY puts. Because I figured if the market does correct, like it looked like maybe it was going to, that would be, a sufficient position to hold to try to take advantage of that.
Yeah. But
At this point, I finally just cut my losses. It wasn't all bad. I did buy BMY 9/17 $70 calls at $1.10. I bought those after earnings, and I gave myself till September after that broke above our trigger price again.
Yeah.
I tried to sell a quarter of those off at $1.50, but I set that price too high. I think I was a little too optimistic. I should have taken $1.40. BMY did not close the week very well, though. So Monday morning, it's decision time. Probably going to have to make a decision of whether to cut my losses or what to do with it.
Yeah.
For the good move, HZNP, I saw the morning star that it was forming. Was it morning star or mm-hmm. evening star? I always confuse the two.
Evening stars, it's about to drop. Morning star, it's about to pop.
So it was an evening star then.
Evening star. So yeah, you saw it was about
basically
to drop.
A big giant doji. It looked like it was going to form an evening star. So I sold those on Friday, I think. The last of them. I sold the first batch at $6.50, so and then I bought them at $4.50. Sold the last batch at $5.50. So managed to lock in a profit. The stock chart still looks pretty decent, though. And if it can hold that $100 level, I think I may end up buying a couple more to see if it rides up even higher.
Well, it's at highs.
If it holds that $100, it's still above the point where it dropped. It's still making a yeah. higher low. So as long as it stays with that higher low, then maybe yeah. you can expect to see another higher high.
Yeah.
So I think I might consider that. Although those contracts are solely liquid, I feel like I did a good job getting out of them at a profit. I may just cut that one off my list just because there's just not enough volume on it.
That's why I didn't make the trade yeah. when we saw it trigger.
Yep.
I just didn't like the liquidity.
Last thing I did was buying more BlackBerry calls. I bought more $11.917 calls at 85 cents again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's I'm holding a lot of these things. and I think we both are following the BAM model for this yeah. this trade. This is not our Trade Pro hats. I think you mentioned on George's podcast. Well, we had to take our Trade Pro hats off to make these trades.
I should say I took my Trade Pro hat off to make the trade in terms of the size of my position.
Exactly.
It is not
yes.
in risk management levels. Yes. However, BlackBerry did make a nice bottom there in the $9 when you look at yes. the charts. So, like when I was talking to Jen about it, I was like, when the technical analysis lines up with what BAM is saying, mm-hmm. it gives me a little more confidence than if it was just technical analysis.
Right. Yeah, I'm holding a very large position now of BlackBerry, so I definitely don't have my Trade Pro hat on with that trade.
Yep. Yep. Likewise. Yeah, I'm holding some $11, some $12, and I have a few $43 calls all for 9/17.
And it looks like for those people who are BAM subscribers, I think the Nimoy is supposed to go live this week too, right?
Yes, yeah, the Nimoy terminal, they call it. It's kind of like think of it as like AI that's watching order flow and interpreting mm-hmm. the order flow for you. I'm really excited about this.
Yeah, we we're getting a month subscription for free being Global Pro subscribers. I actually got my membership for free because he offered that for veterans. So if you're a veteran out there, fill out a ticket on their website. You should be able to get a free year's access to the Global Pro membership.
Yeah. I paid $300 for it on a coupon code. Mm-hmm. It's normally $1,000. And I've already made more than that on a trade I made with SOXS that he was talking about on there. Uh-huh. So it's already been paid for me. I definitely consider it worth its while.
That's pretty much it for my moves. Like I said, last week, I was putting the clamps down and trying not to overtrade. That got me to thinking, yeah. we were discussing this a little bit before the episode started. I think for me, for the month of August, I may try to just limit myself to one chart pattern and just try to become an expert on how to utilize that chart pattern.
Like yeah.
a trending channel, I think is what I'm going to be focusing on. I think I'm just going to try to limit. I feel like I'm trying to trade too many different things. And if I can narrow that down to one specific pattern, if I can get good at that one pattern, and learn how to trade it profitably. That's really all you need, right? If you can make one thing work.
Yeah.
Let's get something profitable and then look to add stuff to the strategies, I think is what right. I'm going to try for.
Right. It's like a deep dive focus on specific patterns and learning them. I like it and I fully support it. I personally am doing, I feel like something very similar, but different in that I'm not focusing on a chart pattern. I'm trying to focus on a small set of 10 stock tickers that all have liquidity in their options, and they're all at a good price level. Because I personally, and I feel like this is valuable, something valuable to learn with options. I found the most profitable options are stocks that are trading over $100, $150, but I mean under 500, because I can't afford those. But like, you can find, this is crazy with like the weeklies and doing the short term trades, like a company like Target, it's like $250. So if I'm looking at Target on Monday, they've got some weekly calls that are just out of the money that are like, oh, this is going to be 80 cents. Well, Target, if it moves 2%, it's moved $5.
Right.
So for the options contract, a dollar is a dollar. It doesn't care what a percentage of the stock price it is. So there's, I've got a list, and I'm trying to become an expert on those 10 stocks. So I'm not watching a million different securities, you know, and then I'm getting to know those levels, and I can trade them up or down. But that definitely involves all the chart patterns, because I'm trying to identify them, you know, per stock. So you're focusing on a pattern, and I'm like, I want to focus on a couple stocks.
I haven't locked into a decision on what I want to focus on, but we've talked about complexity before. It's one of the reasons why you don't really trade any of the really complex option strategies. Is that I feel like the more complex you make something, the harder it is to follow it, the harder it is to learn from it, the harder it is to analyze it. I really just want to simplify. I want to simplify it down to some like one or two or three like key things that I'm looking at, and make my decisions off of that and see what the results are. And I feel like if I can narrow it down to a specific chart pattern, I could just pick some levels, using that pattern to guide it, and then using technical analysis to pick like entry points, exit points, and points to cut losses. I feel like I can simplify it enough to where, you know, I could set myself up for some better success.
Okay.
I do love your idea of focusing on, you know, the 10 stocks, and I want that list of stocks, because I would like to be familiar with them. I think, I want to be able to learn from what you're doing too, if that makes sense.
Yes.
I may not trade them, but I'd like to be able to watch it and see what you're, if I can see what you're learning from what you're doing, I feel like that's a cheaper way for me to get some lessons too from you.
Yes. Well, that's why I'm encouraging you. I'm like, yes, become an expert on a chart pattern, and then I will talk to you about it on this show, and I will get to learn what you learned without all the hard work and sweat.
I love it.
Oh, hey, Kyle, we got any earnings?
My motto's always been, when I'm right, it's right. So I'll wait and watch the charts and the change in price. When the movement's mostly finished at the end of the day, and we know the coming earnings gonna move it my way. Skyrockets in sight, earnings call delight.
All right, August 2nd, we have Race, R-A-C-E, that's Ferrari, and Fang, which is Diamondback Energy. On the 3rd, we've got Baba, Alibaba, LLY, BP, Activision, ETN, MKL, and Darling Ingredients, D-A-R.
Ooh.
On the 4th, we've got Emerson, E-M-R, Kraft, KHC. Is that when Kraft does earnings, does all of Canada take the day off? Sony, CVS, Uber, GM, Allstate, AMC, Plug Power, Royal Caribbean, Etsy, all on the 4th. On the 5th, we've got Moderna, Squarespace, SQ. God damn it, what was K? Kellogg's, and Zillow, Z. And then on the 6th, we've got Berkshire Hathaway, BRK.A, DraftKings, DKNG, and OCGN.
Oh, good old OCGN.
Yeah. I mean, that stock has still been nicely bouncing between like I think it'll drop down to around like 650 and then just run right back up to 750. It's in a real nice cycle.
Yeah. Yeah. Got them consolidation patterns.
Yes. All right. Do you have anything momentum-wise to talk about?
Yeah, sure. Google hit 5 days in a row on Wednesday, and then I didn't see them Thursday or Friday, which means they're having a pullback. It's a little rich for my blood, trading
Google
G O O G L. I should say Alphabet Incorporated. But Friday did end. We had two of the ones that are on my watch list that I created on TradingView from these lists. I've got Nike on there and I've got Yum Brands. Both hit 2 days in a row of new highs. The Yum Brands, their options weren't really liquid. So I was going to make a paper trade to report for the show on Yum. When they broke, I think it was like 127.50. They finished over 130. They had a really, really good Thursday. Wednesday, Thursday. It did like in traditional bullish structure, it broke a new high, had a pullback, the support held, and that when I saw the support held, that was when I was like, well, now's when I would paper trade, but the liquidity wasn't even there. Oh, so I was really? Like, you know, I'll just report that, you know, it held its support and made a bigger leg up. So, which only confirms to me that what I'm watching for now, as I've evolved the chart, the 52-week high chart system, like is
the way to do it. Yeah.
That's the way to do it. And the Nike did the same thing. It had a pullback, didn't even get to my support zone that I'd drawn. If you looked at the charts I was posting on Twitter, a while back, the 50 day EMA held the support along with the volume profile. So it was another great opportunity. I didn't paper trade that one. I admit I wasn't watching Nike the day it did that. I was looking at other shit. But you know, of course, Friday I did look and saw. I was like, oh yeah, look, Nike held really well. That would have been my confirmation. Could have made some money there.
Yep.
So yeah, going forward, the names that you know, when I see big names like that pop up, go in, check to see where the support level is, and watch it and see if it holds. And when it holds, then I can make the move because it's going to march up and try and make a new high. Yep. Or if you want to be more conservative, you can wait till it makes the new high with some volume and confirmation there. Nothing hit more than 3 days in a row on Friday. I think it was only one. It was stock ticker TEL. It's an IT company, TE Connectivity LTD. I don't know anything about them. That's the list update.
All right. Well, then, I suppose we should move on, get some crypto talk done.
Look at the news, what do you see? The cult of cryptocurrency. I know you're greedy, I know you need. You need that Bitcoin, Ether, NFT. Cult of cryptocurrency.
The big news for me for crypto, a new law in Germany will allow institutional investors to start investing in cryptocurrency. That could push up levels because we could start seeing some institutional money buying and holding crypto, which, you know, locks up the supply, which helps the prices go up.
Okay.
Bitcoin, it got up over 40 grand this week. I know it's down from the peak of 65 grand set in April, but you know, it was down in the low 30s. So breaking over 40 was important. It did that on the news that Amazon is looking to adapt cryptos as payment for their stuff.
I think the BAM model is still calling for a drop. I think he even had like a 19,000 marked out on his chart that he was calling for. It does seem like he had the 31,000 mark called out, and a lot of people were giving him shit for predicting that, but it definitely hit that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still a little leery of it. I'm worried that it might retrace back down to that 31,000 level. I'm not sure it's done with that yet, but I don't watch it enough to really know too much.
The other crypto news that I probably should have mentioned when you were talking about the infrastructure deal.
Yes.
Yeah. Part of it is they're trying to do some measures to step up tax enforcement around crypto assets.
So what does that mean?
It means that crypto brokerages and exchanges are now required to provide details on cryptocurrency transactions over $10,000 to the IRS.
Uh-huh.
So that means that American crypto exchanges, just like Ameritrade reports to the IRS,
right,
your stock transactions, like if I sell crypto and of over $10,000, it's going to get reported to the IRS, and the IRS is going to say, oh, why didn't you report that?
Yeah, well, that's great.
Yeah, so that deregulated cryptocurrency allows for shadow transactions is coming more and more into the light.
Yeah,
and becoming less and less decentralized. I mean, it might be decentralized, but becoming less and less on the fringes, and now it's going to get reported for taxes. No more hiding stuff.
Yeah, the days of using it on the dark web seem to be done.
Yeah.
I had one little blurb that I found interesting was that Nigeria was looking to launch a digital currency, actually planning on launching it in October. It's going to be called the Enara.
Mm.
It had barred their banks and financial institutions from dealing and facilitating transactions in cryptocurrencies in February. So I wonder if they're doing that in preparation for launching this. Like, what was their reasoning for banning everybody else?
Right. We'll force you to use ours.
Yeah, it's kind of what it looks like. So the eNaira will operate as a wallet, which customers can hold existing funds in their bank account.
Wow. Nigeria, right?
Yeah, so we got Nigeria, and then El Salvador adopted Bitcoin. What was the other one that was making a push towards going crypto?
I don't know. I'm just thinking of all the new Nigerian print scams. Like,
oh,
help me unlock my wallet to get my crypto. I'll give you half of it.
Isn't Nigeria like one of the most developed countries in Africa? It's like the India of Africa.
What?
You not heard that?
No.
Like, it has its own stock exchange. It's starting to develop its own film infrastructure, like Bollywood.
Wait. So is Africa Asia and Nigeria is the India?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Did I say that wrong?
No. I've just never heard it before. It made me laugh.
It's following the same path as like India has. Like, India has developed very fast. Like, there's been a lot of, like, India is where China was 10 years ago. And then Nigeria is like the next, it's like where India was 10 years ago.
Right. Right. And it is, hey, that's forward thinking, like putting crypto into the mix.
Yeah. And I feel like it has a lot more, it's a bigger development than something like El Salvador launching their own crypto. Like, Nigeria, I think, has more of a, I don't know what the right word is for that. It just feels more important.
They've got more economic opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
Well, they certainly have more natural resources.
No, they do that.
Just because of the size of the country compared to El Salvador.
All right.
Oh. All right, let's slap iron, motherfucker.
Oh, damn it, you got me. Completely forgot to fill this out.
Yeah. All right, well, I guess I'll go first.
Yeah, please.
My good was definitely staying and keeping myself in timeout and staying true to my punishment, my self-inflicted punishment of Dan, you done fucked up so bad this week, you're not allowed to fuck up next week. But I still managed to fuck up, and I'm going to get back to that on my ugly.
Oh, okay.
Did you do anything good?
Yeah, I think taking profits on HCNP, I think, like, that trade's just felt good all around.
Yes.
Like from the identifying, the execution, and now the actually closing out and taking the profits. It felt like I...
That's a big win.
I just did everything right. Yeah. I sold out, you know, positions in lots. I sold out half at a really good mark, and then I sold the other half at a still profitable mark.
Yep.
And then got out before, if I look at the price of those contracts now, I'm sure it's below the 450 that I bought them at, or really close to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well done.
Yeah.
High five all around.
Thank you.
Kicking ass. All right.
Not that it could all be like that.
Right.
All right. What's your bet?
I didn't take as many of the opportunities as I had to watch more TradePro videos. Mm. I think I only got through one in the whole week, and I should be at least getting through two or three. And there were days where I had opportunities, and I was like, you know what? I'd rather just watch some regular TV that's not going to get me any skills or knowledge, and I'll just vegetate, doing a lot of relaxing.
I was kind of in the same boat. I watched the first options video, and that was the only one of that series that I actually sat down and watched.
Yeah.
I did go back, though, and rewatch one of the foundations course, and I actually feel like I might be better served by going back through and watching those, rewatching those, now that I've had a month of that to sink in before jumping into the options.
Right. Now that you've got a little experience with it under your belt, rewatch it to see what you missed right. The first time around. Yeah.
And I'm sure there's going to be a lot. I mean, just watching the... I think it was the market structure one, like the fourth lesson that I went back through and rewatched. And like, it's just like, oh man, I need to rewatch all these.
I will say the options course, Vico has a market structure one as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I actually watched that one. I watched the first half of that one three times. Well, That was the one I did finish the week.
I look at the foundations course as the foundation of like your knowledge base, right?
Yeah.
And I don't feel like my foundation has been built very strong yet that I can start just stacking stuff on top of it.
Okay.
I think I need to make sure that foundation is a lot more solidly constructed before I start moving into some of the more advanced stuff, like trying to day trade options and swing lottos like Vico.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that wasn't my bad, though.
What was your bad?
I think my bad was not taking profits on BMY, not taking any profits, to the point now where I think I'm actually underwater a little bit on it. Like I said, I had the opportunity to try to take a taste of that out. I was targeting 30%, I think is what the problem was, and 20% just didn't sound as pretty.
Yeah, right? That's 20%. That's not a sexy number.
And that's the hard thing about having hard and fast rules. Like, you need to be able to, like, yeah, you could want 30% gain for your first, you know, exit closeout.
Mm-hmm.
But if the market's not going to give it to you, you got to adapt that. You can't just sit and say, well, I want, you know, 30% or I'm not taking anything.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's not going to help you. The market doesn't give a shit if that's your hard and fast line.
Right, exactly. Market does not care.
Yeah. All right, well, you alluded to your ugly. What was it?
Oh, BMY, not taking the break even. Yeah. Yeah, having two opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Wednesday or Thursday morning? I think it's Thursday morning.
Yep.
Yeah, I had two opportunities to get out of the trade without losing anything, and I did not take either of them. And then I stayed in the trade, and I lost everything. And that was ugly, and that was just me being stubborn. I was right. The market's wrong.
My BMY was not my ugly because I bought a much longer expiration date on the calls. I bought September's. I didn't trade weeklies on that.
Yeah.
My ugly, though, was pretty much the same thing. It was those AMC weeklies.
Yep.
It wasn't quite as bad because I did manage to sell, you know, a third of them for profit, but that doesn't help when the rest of it expires worthless and you still lose money.
Mm-hmm.
And I, too, had at least two or three opportunities to sell them at the price that I purchased them for, which was still locked in a profit. And then I had another chance to sell them at break even on Thursday that I still didn't take. So that trade's just all around ugly. And I think I might be done trying to swing weeklies on AMC.
Yep. I know I am.
Yeah. I should have been done last week. This week was kind of my last, give it a last chance. It was trading into a big zone of strength that had been circled on the calendar. Yeah. Trying to lock them in. a few days before when it's a weekly just doesn't work. And they're just too expensive to try to buy anything, you know, further out and still maintain your risk. Yeah.
It is my attitude going forward that weeklies are for day trades.
Yes. That seems to be when the most success is made with those.
Yeah.
Or the only success, really.
Yeah. If you really want to fucking hold some value, it's buying them 2 months out and riding it for that month, selling them before their month to expire. Like, don't let time kill your fucking purchase.
Yes. And you'd think that because there's not a whole lot of time value on them, but the little bit it has, and if they're out the money, that's the only value it has.
Yeah.
It decays really fast.
Yeah, and then if you're wrong, instead of taking a loss of some of the fucking trade, it's like all the trade. Shit.
Yeah. Which I had been sizing those as all or nothing bets, but that doesn't mean I have to lose it all.
It still hurts.
Just because you sized it as all or nothing doesn't mean it has to be all or nothing.
Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, all right. All right, Kyle. Let's we're almost there. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Let's talk about opening up a new bet on August.
Oh, goddamn, I didn't do that part either. It's a good thing you get to go first.
In the center of a universe, that's for every one of us. Consequence for one of us. Make our picks with no regret. Every open, every close, every spread is the mighty bet.
Wow, I do get to go first because I was the biggest loser of the week and the month.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I going off of a stock that is both on my list of 10 that I want to really be just an expert on, and my 52-week highs, I'm going to pick Target, TGT.
You are?
Yes. It broke into new high territory on Thursday, opened a Friday with a pullback. Looking at the hourly, it pulled back down into the previous high. And the volume profile, it stayed above the 20 EMA, and the last hourly candle on Friday was higher with some decent volume holding that support line. So I'm going to say this one is primed. Monday's probably a really good time to buy, and can see some new all-time highs through the week.
Okay. Sounds like a good bet.
Yeah. Target, TGT.
I kind of feel like just stealing your other one, just going with Nike.
Well, Nike finished with the strong two days in a row, hitting new highs. I mean,
yeah, it certainly did.
All right,
yeah, why not? I'm gonna go with that.
You like that where that one is? You know, take my discarded because you know I looked at the.
I know my you looked at list. Both. I feel like just. I feel like just fucking with you and just taking your other one because I feel like
all right.
I feel like it all should work out that way.
You feel like if you win the bet, it's gonna have some extra pain in my face.
I feel like I need to get in your head again. I haven't done that in a while.
Well, Nike is doing just fine. That's not a bad call at all. I just don't like the timing of having to buy that one on Monday because I think it's gonna have a pullback before it pulls back up to new highs, but we'll see. It really could keep going. It could keep going up to 175 before it pulls back. I don't know.
I don't either. I kind of feel like I should put a stop loss in there though. Probably around 160, I think.
That's a solid stop loss for sure.
Yep.
For sure. And I got to load Target back up to tell you my stop loss cuz now I'm looking at fucking Nike. Okay, Target, my stop loss, 256.
256?
255.
255, okay. Are you doing a take profit?
No. No. I'm not gonna make it too crazy and complicated.
I think if Nike jumps over 170 and I bought it less than that, I might move my stop loss to there. And then if it hits 175, I'll move it up. I'll just move it up in $5 increments starting at 175. that closes the day above those.
I'm just going to call mine a trailing stop, 255, whatever the dollar value that is between where it opens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have that be trailing. So if it opens at 262, I want a $7 trailing stop.
That's probably a decent. Yeah, okay. I'll go with that too.
We got a random?
No.
Okay. Well, fuck random.
I'm working on it.
I'll give you a random. Got your random right here. HOOD.
No. No, you can't do that.
I randomly picked it out of my brain.
All right, Dan, I want a random 1 through 3 number.
Ooh, 1.
Okay, and then a random...
You know what? I'm going to get my D&D dice.
A random 12. Yeah, give me a 12-sided die and roll down to those.
Oh, should I go get it now? I don't know where they are.
Oh, they don't? Oh,
okay. Yeah, I really don't. I really don't know where they're at the moment. Oh, wait, maybe... No, they're not in that drawer. Okay, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
But yeah, I am going to get a 3-sided, 12-sided dice, and we'll just start rolling those for the random.
That's what we need, yes. Okay, we've got NASDAQ Exchange, Capital Goods Sector. The symbol is APOG.
APOD.
OG. Apogee Industries. Or Apogee Apogee Enterprises. Apogee.
They used to make games I played in the 90s.
Yeah, they made Blakestone, didn't they?
I don't know, they make Commander Keen.
Yeah.
Really dating ourselves now.
Ooh, Take Two has their earnings out this week, too. God damn it.
Okay, Apogee. APOG for the random. Stupid random. All right, folks, there you have it. We got another random bet. Got another big bet. Stay tuned to the month in review, and we'll talk about our bet consequences, because Kyle and I once again failed to defeat random and hang our heads in shame.
Much shame.
But for now, we're going to go ahead and close up the shop. We're not 24/7. It's not some crazy madness like that. But we will be coming back at you shortly at that month in review episode we'll have out next week. And we'll follow that up with another regular episode. So until then, like, share, subscribe, tell all your friends, tell all your enemies, and happy trades.
Yeah, tell your enemies.
Yeah, we want more combative discourse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need.
All right, bye. Thanks for joining us. You can find us off air at twobullsinachinashop.com. That's the number 2bullsinachinashop.com. Make sure you check us out. Download us on any streaming network. Blah, 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 blah. You know what to do. Rate, subscribe.
Two Bulls in a China Shop is an entertainment program, and all thoughts and opinions expressed in the show belong to the hosts and not of any company. They are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide entertainment about stocks and the financial industry of trading. If you make trades based on what you hear in this show, you assume all risks for those trades.